I invite you to open your Bible in Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. And there was a typo of my part. It's verse 27 all the way to 34, not just 31, okay? Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 to 34. We're going to read everything, and later we're going to go point by point, and we're going to drive this home. Blind resistance. I hear no more pages turning, so I believe everybody's there. So let us read with me. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, will it be done to you?" And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him all over that region. That's the blind man. Now let us see the next man. While they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed and could not talk was brought to Jesus. And when the demon was driven out, the man who had been dumb spoke. The crowd was amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." This is the mute man. Now the very last verse are the Pharisees. But the Pharisees said, "It is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons." It's that statement of the Pharisees that entitles the sermon today, okay, church? Blind resistance, part one. Next week, we're also going to see about Jesus suffering resistance, and we save that for later, but it's a period of turbulence, resistance against the ministry of Jesus, but Jesus is Jesus. Jesus will keep going. Jesus will keep doing the right thing. Jesus will keep being the Lord. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we have here three kinds of people, three situations, and we pray we learn from it. But above all, Lord, I pray your word really gives us hope and encourages us, Lord, to do the right thing. And to remain strong, steady against the resistance, against the accusations, against falsehood, so on and so forth. Give us grace, Lord. Teach us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Church. Just as a matter of introduction, many people confuse this story with Bartimaeus. Is that right? Bartimaeus? Bartimaeus? Bartimaeus. Okay. Many people misunderstand and confuse these stories. They are not the same stories. Okay? The proof of that, later Matthew is going to tell the story about Bartimaeus. Okay? These are two different stories. And if it's two different stories, there is two different lessons. Okay? So keep that in mind. So we're going to go it's going to be easy. We're going to go to the blind man, we're going to go to the mute man, and we're going to go to the Pharisees. Okay? And then we finish with the conclusion. First thing I want you to know about the two blind men, it is their statement shows you how much faith they have. It's been a while that we are seeing about people's faith. 2 weeks ago, we saw about the lady's faith. She went to the crowd and she touched Jesus. Just raise your hand. Do you remember that? Okay. Then we saw the faith of Jairus. That was last week. My daughter needs healing. Things get worse. And now his faith increases. My daughter needs resurrection. And he gets it. Do you remember that? Okay. Now we're going to see these two men with faith. Look at what they say. Mercy on us, son of David. Church, just the fact that these men are two blind men, it's a trouble. Because they have physical restrictions, they have social stigma. Just the fact that they are calling out and trying to go after Jesus, asking for healing, is already a big step of faith. I don't know about you, many of us are shy. We need things and we don't ask for it. Why? Because I'm too shy. Just that, it's a big step of faith. But if you see their statement, it's going to show you, it's going to start to tell you about their faith. Mercy on us, son of David. First, mercy on us. Yes, church, God is a merciful God. And that's a very statement of faith. Because you know, I know people who think God is a mad God. All he's doing is punishing people. Don't have fun, don't laugh, or else I punish you. Do you know people think that about God? Some people are afraid to come to church because God is too harsh. These men understand the aspect of God's heart, that it's beautiful. He is merciful. We can ask him a blessing. We can ask him a miracle. We can come to the throne of grace and ask. And the merciful God will answer. That's a big faith. Secondly, son of David. That's a beautiful term to say king. Who is the son of David? The king. The Messiah. The Lord. The one we are waiting for. Son of David was not Solomon. Solomon had too many issues. Do you know that? Solomon had too many issues. Solomon had 1,000 issues. Say amen if you understood that. That's not the son of David. Jesus is the son of David. Okay? And that statement is big. You're the Lord. Now, church, Jesus is going to ask them a question that really resounds to me. Verse 28, do you believe that I am able to do this? Pay attention. Remember, this is not Bartimaeus' story. Bartimaeus, Jesus never asked about belief. Jesus just asked, what do you want? Two different questions, okay? And why does Jesus do that, church? The illustration is simple about the doctor. When we go to the doctor, church, and we have a headache, all we want is the Tylenol. Please don't ask me a bunch of questions. How is your health history? Do you want to go? What is that machine everybody has phobia to go in? MRI. Don't take me to those things. Just give my Tylenol and I go home. Yes or no? We don't want too much disclosure, hard time. Here is the opportunity. Jesus is asking the question on purpose. Like, he's digging deep. Do you really believe? Do you really want? You just said I'm merciful. Am I? You just said I'm the son of David. I can do this. Can I? Jesus is asking this question. And now they need to open up. If you just ask for the Tylenol, you don't get the healing. You do need to open up and then the doctor is going to heal you. But also that question, church, teaches us something very interesting. You know their statement is correct. Jesus is merciful. Jesus is the son of David. Is this truth? Yes. 100%. Yet, Jesus still challenges that. Yet, Jesus still asks a question about that statement, which really must make us think about that. all of us, no, not all of us, majority of us, we think of our lives like a golf game. Where are my golf people in the house? Okay. We think that our system of beliefs, it's untouchable. I believe in this. Don't touch the ball. That's what we think. If you think differently than me, I disagree with you and I keep my beliefs. Yes or no? That's the way we think, right? Jesus does see our beliefs as a tennis match. Who watched the U.S. Final Open last Sunday? Nobody? Oh, one person, thank you. Good. It is like this. Son of David, have mercy on me. Huh. Jesus gets that beliefs, that statement. And what does Jesus do? Do you believe? But Jesus is a good tennis player. He puts the ball over there. So you need to go there. I do believe Jesus. And you give the ball to his court again. Do you know what I mean? This back and forth. That which you thought it was untouchable. That which you hold as truth since you were born. Because your parent told you. Because grandparents told you. That's the very belief Jesus asks you. Do you really believe? Let me ask a little bit more deep. That's what he's doing. And what did this man do? We believe. Everybody with me? We believe. So Jesus put the ball on the court. Jesus challenged their beliefs. We do believe. So then Jesus grants them the miracle. And then this story finishes with the sad note in verse 31. Jesus gives them a sternly warning, church. Don't tell this to anyone. Don't spread the news. Keep it quiet. And I do want you to see the word sternly. Sternly? Sternly. That word is not too often. Jesus have asked the people to not tell about the miracles many times, not sternly. Sternly, yes. Not sternly. And they disobey. So they finish this in a very sad note. They have great faith. Yes, they do. Their beliefs were challenged and it remained. Yes, it was. Yet they disobeyed. Moving forward to the next man, let's see what Jesus is doing. It is the mute man. And I do want you to pay attention to the spiritual discernment here. In life, church, it's very important to have discernment. What is discernment? It's the ability to see what the general people can't see. That's, in simple words, discernment. Jesus has the spiritual discernment because everybody knows this mute man has a demon oppression, is possessed by the demon. Everybody knows that. Everybody also knows this person is mute. Everybody knows that. Only Jesus has the discernment and power to understand that as soon as the demon comes out, the tongue comes back. The two things are spiritually attached. If the demon leaves, the tongue speaks. And so Jesus delivers that man from demon, and that man instantaneously, he speaks. Jesus has spiritual discernment. And with that being said, I just want to bring us back to a housekeeping we need when we talk about miracles. Characteristics of a biblical miracle, church, always keep that in mind. 5 points of a miracle of the Bible. It's immediate, it's public, testable, beyond medicine's capability, and it's not premeditated. Everything happens suddenly. People bring people to Jesus, Jesus heals. He doesn't say, come tomorrow, there will be healing tomorrow. No, there is not an agenda. It's on the spot, okay? This is important that we see this. You will see this in the lady who the bleeding was stopped. You're going to see this with Jairus' daughter. You're going to see this with the blind man. You're going to see this with the mute man. You're always going to see these five characteristics. And it's important this because we must draw the line to common grace. What is common grace? It is the doctor. It is the Tylenol. It is the tea. It is the rest. And a combination of all of this, it's going to make your body well after a couple of days. But we cannot call that miracle. That's common grace. What is a miracle? Immediate, supernatural, beyond medicine's capability, so on and so forth. Also, it's good that we keep those things in mind because we want to protect ourselves from false miracles. Unfortunately, people, this happens. Unfortunately, people claim, oh, miracles are happening. I prayed for that person. 5 days later, that person got well. It was my prayer. You know, come to me because I'm gifted with healing. We do want to keep protection. Miracles of the Bible are very clear. They happen now, absolutely. And when they happen, there is this five characteristics there. Okay? So draw the line and always keep that in mind. So, blind man, mute tongue, all of them healed by Jesus. And then we land to the title of the sermon, Blind Resistance with the Pharisees. And this text is a paradox. Because the men are blind physically, the Pharisees are blind spiritually. Look at what they say in verse 34. But, you know grammar. If there is a but, it cancels everything. Right? So, but, canceling everything Jesus did, but the Pharisees said it is by the prince of demons that he drives out the demons. We cancel everything Jesus does, we establish a fake news, we establish a lie. This is not God's work. This is not the five signs of miracles that we just talked about. This is nothing about God. This is actually about the devil. And that's a blasphemy. That's a sin, unforgivable sin. That's shame on them, right? That they are doing this. So they are as blind as the blind man, but they are spiritually blind. They wish they were only physically blind. But no, they had eyes to see, but they can't see. They're spiritually blind. And about the tongue, which is so interesting, church. Check this paradox. The man was mute because the demon muted the man. The Pharisees speak with the poison of the devil in their lips. Church, Satan has no ownership of land, of humans. Not even in hell he has ownership. Nothing he has ownership. There is only one thing God, quote, gave ownership to the devil. What was that? He's a father of lies. That's not just ownership. You're a father of lies. Lies starts in the devil's heart. Blaspheming It starts in the devil's heart. That's the poison of their lips. One verse above, the devil works to mute a man. One verse beneath, the devil works to poison the tongue of the Pharisees with lies, with fake news, with resistance, and with spreading things around. And with that, we bring the sermon to the conclusion. Jesus is who he says he is. Amen? It doesn't change who Jesus is. Whether you believe in him or not, whether there is fake news or not, he is who he is. He keeps doing what he needs to do. Thanks to God, because he is who he is. And this is an encouragement to us. Keep doing what you know you need to do. Being a godly man, being a godly woman, being a godly church. Don't be afraid of resistance. Don't get offended when people spread fake news about you, hammer you with their words. Don't be afraid. Secondly, the resistance to both the great level and the small level. When the Pharisees speak blasphemy, church, it is in the greater picture. If you could translate the Pharisees to nowadays, it is the social media. It is the newscast. It is the people on the school boards who makes a statement. It's like Ottawa. What we say is the law. What we say carries weight. Okay? That's the Pharisee. This is not random people blaspheming against Jesus. It was people in a position to make statements. And they make their statement. Out of everything we know, out of everything we have seen about this Jesus that everybody has an opinion about, this is what we say. He is a fake news. He is a false minister. He is a false Messiah. That's on a very high level, the resistance. And we deal with those in our days as well. Jesus dealt in his days. We deal with this nowadays. But be brave. Do the right thing. Keep doing the right things in spite of that. But now I do want to bring this very close to our hearts, church. There is resistance also on the small level. You don't understand this text without thinking about Bartimaeus. You can't understand this text without Bartimaeus. Church, who of you drive? Raise your hand, the drivers. Okay, in Canada, they have this crazy thing. This is crazy. I can't believe this. And you're driving, they tell you to do this. What is this? Check your... No, not the mirror. Mirror, you just do this. You need to do this. You're checking your blind spots, right? You take the eyes off the road. Why? Because you're looking to the back. Crazy. Okay. Blind spots. All of us, we have blind spots. All of us. And church, how dangerous it is when the truth becomes a blind spot. Because church, we communicate through fragments. Word by word, statement by statement, day after day. Okay? I'm going to tell you where I'm going. I know you're not understanding. Help me in this one. These two men, the blind men, did they say, "Have mercy on us, Jesus Christ"? Yes. Is that true? True. Jesus asked them, "Do you believe?" I believe, give me my sight. Is that true? What was the end of everything? What did they do at the end? They disobeyed. And I do need you to understand, this is not the disobedience that we all commit because nobody's perfect. When you look to Bartimaeus, the text is different. Bartimaeus comes with the same statement, "Have mercy on us, son of David." Jesus asks, "What do you want?" "I want to see." He sees Jesus. And do you know how the text finishes with Bartimaeus, church? It ends with this statement, "And he followed Jesus." Repeat with me, "And he followed Jesus." Church, how dangerous it is when you have fragments of the truth, but you don't get the whole truth. What is the most important thing we need to answer about Jesus? "I believe in you, therefore I am your disciple." Being disciples of Jesus is the ultimate picture. And this man missed. And why did they miss? There are many reasons why. But one, it's because they did not listen. God gave us 2 ears. God gave us 1 mouth. Which one do we use more? The mouth. Instead of listening. Jesus is a great listener. Can you say amen? That's why you can pray. He listens. Jesus is listening to them. Mercy, Jesus heard. Son of David, Jesus heard. "So you're telling me I'm merciful?" Remember the golf match and the tennis? There will be an interaction here. "I heard that. Do you believe?" Now, these two men, they did not listen the way they supposed to listen. "We do," they said. "We do believe." Jesus gives the sight. Pay attention to this, church. If you call Jesus the Son of David, if you call Jesus the Lord, now you are bound to obey him. Now you are bound to become his disciple. Jesus heard them. Jesus double checked. "Do you believe?" "So now that you're saying to me that you believe, so now that you're saying to me that I am the Son of David, so now that you're saying to me that I am merciful, therefore, I'm going to add something." The tennis, remember the tennis? He puts the ball on the court again and he puts on the corner. "Obey me. Become my disciple." And what these two men did? No. And they lost the big picture. Did you understand that? If I could illustrate this to you, church, it's easy to illustrate this. Try to evangelize someone. Tell them you need Jesus. They reply back to you, I believe in God, don't worry about me, everything's okay. Fragments of the truth. And they miss the whole truth. They never become a disciple of Christ. So this sermon, church, it is a very, very good call from the Lord to us to listen. He doesn't waste his questions. He doesn't waste his stories. He doesn't waste a story that it's so similar, Bartimaeus and these two men. He's really telling you, he's really telling me, don't work with fragments of the truth. Work with the whole truth. And the whole truth, you need to be my disciple. I need to be his disciple. Is that a good way to finish here? Amen. Trisha, I missed one slide. You can put it. Proverbs says this. The way of fools seems right to them. Do you believe? I believe, the man said. But they missed the whole picture. The most important piece of information they missed. But the wise listen to advice. Lord Jesus, this is a very good time for us to check upon ourselves, Lord. And the question you ask us today, it is, are you my disciple? That's the question you're asking us with a sermon like this, with a text like this. And I pray, Lord, I pray we honestly listen to that question. And I pray we answer, we believe. We are. We love you. We are yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.